Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 44. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy, Ken. I got the 4-4 on me.
Pull up on me.
Pull up on me, because I packed that thing, too.
You will get got.
Oh, shit. Big shout out to Shanoa. She's not here today. It's Shanoa Green, y'all.
It's Shanoa Green, y'all, the name my mother gave me.
Hey.
Yeah, Ken is on the road this week, y'all, so we don't have the soundboard. That may be a relief for some of y'all, or it may be a disappointment for some of y'all. I don't know. We taking it back. I missed the beatbox air horn. That was a good time. But yeah, man, we here in 44. We got some good content on deck for y'all this week, man. We try to have some extra fun. Let's jump into center circle, weekend games, transfers, rumors, all that good shit. Ken Kimber, what'd you catch, man?
This weekend, what did I catch? I actually don't think I caught anything besides USA-Canada. We'll talk about
fire
game. Well, I don't know how fire of a game it was, but we'll talk about that a little later. I want to say I watched something else. Oh, I watched the Washington Spirit-Gotham game.
I missed that one, man. That was a joint.
Yo, it is wild that Washington went down Washington went down a player and then still made that a game. And I stand by my prediction that we had the player of the year and the rookie of the year on the field at the same time, because Trinity Rodman scored a goal. And Midge Purse scored the game winner. If that comes to fruition, I'm digging back into crates, and y'all about to hear that shit for a week.
You gonna have it on the soundboard?
Hell yeah! And we gonna run clips of that shit, bro. That was a good prediction.
I didn't catch too much this week, man. I did catch the USA Canada game. Had a bunch of fun with that. I think NYCFC played. They have a bunch of games coming up. I do not remember what this last game was because they took an L. Oh, it was Columbus. They took an L in Columbus again. Zalarian with the free kick banger put us in the dirt. This team has got to figure it out. Quick note, tomorrow's match, they are playing at Red Bull Arena against CF Montreal, and I will be in the building. Your boy is back. The outside. So yeah, I'm going out there with my brother. He came up on some tickets and he was like, yo, you got to come with me. So I'm doing that anyway. In transfer news, I have been really, really following closely this development around Gianluca Busio and his potential move to Europe.
No, that move is on and low key.
It's going to Venezia, right?
Yeah. Yo, man, do not start dick riding. Do not start dick riding. I guarantee y'all, do not start dick riding. That has been my team since FIFA 16 when they were in Serie B. That is my FIFA team where, you know how you do manager mode or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That's my team. That is my team. And now they in Serie A. I've been trying to keep it low because I know how y'all dick riders are. So please do not start riding LDK.
Hey, yo, we got to put the, we did the tweet while we've been having discussions behind closed doors. Listen, when the fucking big DK energy shirts come out, man, put the money up and support the podcast. The shit's going to be dope. Stay tuned for that.
Yes.
But to wrap that one up, Gianluca Busio, very much on the move, potentially to Venezia FC. It has not been announced just yet, but it's looking like it's a done deal. People are talking about it everywhere. I heard Andrew Wiebe talking about it earlier today on Twitter Spaces. So let's keep an eye on that one. Big up to the man. Gianluca Busio, that is a big move. I hope he gets all the money he can get for himself, for his career, for his family, and for MLS.
So let me tell you real fast, like how deep it goes with like Buzio and Venezia and me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Venezia is my squad. Like, they're my Italian squad. I keep low. Buzio is actually from the city next door to mine in North Carolina. He's from Greensboro. Oh, wow. I'm from Winston-Salem. They are literally next door cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't make this up. Like, I have vested interest in this, right?
Yeah.
So please do not, like, show up and dick ride this now. Like, don't ruin this for the mandem. Like, please.
And their shirts are hard.
And their shirts are hard. And their
you seen that? They got some kind of new, like, Century badge. I don't know what it is. Some kind of special edition badge they have on their training shirts that just dropped.
Yeah, so it's the throwback to their original badge, right? So okay. Maybe like 2 years ago when they got the Nike deal, they had to change their badge, right? Because mm-hmm. like one of the reasons I first started rocking with them is they don't do a shirt sponsor.
Mm.
So it
just says Menezia on the front.
Yeah, right? And that's new. Like before, they didn't do any of that. They just had the badge and they had whatever kit maker was making their joint. And that's what originally attracted me to them, like maybe mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago, right? Because they are mm-hmm. probably one of the last teams in Europe that still does that, right? Because like after Barcelona yeah. started doing like the Airways and like UNICEF and shit like that, like there are no more teams to do that anymore. So, like, right. that's what really made me, like, start rocking with them when I discovered them. Because they're from Venice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was excited, bro. And, like, I'm still very excited. But please do not fuck this up. It is it is very much a done deal. There's a guy, Fabrizio, what is his name? Fabrizio Romano, I believe his name is. He's, like, the European transfer wizard. Like, mm-hmm. whenever, like, you know, if you just Google "Here We Go Soccer," like, his shit'll pop mm-hmm. up because, like, you know, he's on it. He's been working for yeah. Sky Sports since he was like 19. But, like, when,
oh, wow.
yeah, when he announces it, it's golden. And, yeah. like, you know, he said it's happening. Like, I've been on gosh, that gosh. Shit. I've been on that shit, bro. Like, that's my shit. Like,
word.
Like you're going to see me in Venice before you're going to see me in Venice before next summer at a game.
Ooh.
That's a trip.
Hey, keep me posted on that one.
All right. Me and Ghost Bay going to Venice. You know who you are.
Oh shit. Short corners this week, man. We got a couple of good ones here. First up, you know we love Versus on this here podcast. And I believe one of the verses of all verses is upon us. Dipset versus the Lox, August 3rd, 2021.
Bruh.
When I tell you I was pretty much tuned out of the verses, and then this shit came along and changed my whole mind. And I was driving home from work the other day. If y'all don't know, I live in Yonkers, New York. I was driving home from work. Past the juice bar and Styles was outside. So I almost stopped and just be like, yo, this verse is about to be popping, bruh. But he was already on Instagram talking shit about the verses. So he's been coming at Jim Jones and Dipset's neck for the last week since the announcement. And he's all fired up. They dropped a limited edition t-shirt that was $70 a pop. I did not buy that. I'm definitely down to support black business, but not $70 for a t-shirt. Sorry, y'all. but I'm super excited about this one. I will have my Yankees fitted and my Tim's on for this shit. I might find me a motherfucking Pele Pele too.
Bro, it's the summer. If I don't see you in no cargo shorts and no camo cargo shorts, bro, I'll be like, what is happening?
I am definitely not wearing no camo cargo shorts. That shit is not happening. Oh my God. But yeah, look forward to that one. And some soccer news in short corners this week. Gabriel Heinze is out the door at Atlanta United. Man, they said, you got to get up out of here, bro. And we probably should have put this in run of play because I really feel like this is a whole conversation in and of itself. But I'll keep it brief here since we placed it here. Gabriel Heinze is out. I think that's absolutely the right decision for this club. But rather than focus on him, I want to focus on Joseph Martinez personally and say that I saw some comments come out from him today where he said that I would die for this club.
Yo, that nigga loves now, Magic City, bro.
Oh my God. Hey, listen, I can't blame him. Hey, listen, you ask him, he'll tell you it's the wings.
Yeah.
And I'll believe him.
It's the wings.
I'll believe him. It's the wings. But just that type of energy, you know, obviously I'm hoping that it's hyperbole and he's just, you know, making it a point that I really, really love it here and I intend to be here a long time. Yeah, I could probably get some money to go to Europe or wherever, but I have embedded myself in Atlanta and on this team, Atlanta United. And we as a culture of U.S. soccer, particularly as Black culture, we need to highlight that, elevate that, and celebrate that because we need more people who are not just of the skill level, but of the desire to be here with us doing this thing for better or for worse, right? Yep. It's like just like a real marriage. You know, everything's not going to be perfect. There are a whole bunch of things that MLS could improve and work on, but a part of the relationship is working on those issues as a unit, overcoming them, and then celebrating that success later on.
Yep.
Joseph Martinez is a prime example of the player I want to see in this league. Somebody that loves this shit.
Yep.
Loves this shit. And the city loves him. So that he was able to stand up for himself and his squad and say, yeah, this is not what we really trying to do here. We want to have some fun with this. We want to win. We want to collect trophies. We want to celebrate this building and what we have here and how special it is. And this dude just ain't a part of it. That is big, big fucking boss energy. And I'm here for it. How you feel about it, Ken?
I mean, I feel like this should be like a lesson to MLS that if you do it right in a city, there are plenty of players who would just be like, no offense to Joseph Martinez, but like if he goes over to Europe, he's just another dude. And yeah. I think he realizes that. And like, you know, that has nothing to do with his skill level because he is one of the top strikers in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah. But just like there are a bunch of great players in Europe.
Yeah. There are a bunch of great players in Europe. But if you really want to be like that dude and like be that dude for a team, like you can do that in MLS. Like one of the things I think that MLS really fucks up is that their system really allows for you to be a dude on your team. And you need to market the shit out of that. Like,
yeah.
If, okay, so for example, take like Nani, take like Carlos Vela, take like, you know, Chicharito. Like, you know, the marketing opportunities for these guys as dudes on their team is something that like, I don't think MLS really leans into enough. And yeah. Like, you know, the talent is there. Like there is so much soccer talent in this world that if you find a dude with a little sauce and a little swag, like he could be that dude in a city. Right. And I mean, like Joseph Martinez has all the sauce, all the swag. He is perfect for Atlanta. Like, you know, like he just fits. And I completely 100% understand why he doesn't want to go anywhere, bro. Because, like, he's going to retire there, and they're going to put a statue of him out in front of the Benz, bro. And you know what? Fucking that shit's going to fit. Like, it's just going to fit.
Yep.
And, like, you know, if I was MLS, I would be busting my nuts to try to figure out who we're going to get like that in Miami. Because if you get a dude, like if you get a dude who's like young enough to have like a career like that in Miami, sky's the limit, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, these owners are talking about, like, trying to make some money. Like, if you're trying to make some money, like, you know, get somebody like Joseph Martinez, like, you know, in a place like Miami. Get Miami a Joseph Martinez and fucking see how this league takes off. And, like, I'm happy for him, bro. Like, 100%. I am so happy.
Hell yeah. When I went down there, man, like, I just saw the murals on the wall of him and just, man, that's love, bro. They had the whole streetcar wrapped in five stripes. Like,
yeah.
They fuck with that team for real, for real.
Because it's theirs. Like, one thing I have to give Arthur Blank, he's the owner of Atlanta United, right? Like, Arthur Blank?
Yeah, yeah. And the Falcons.
And the Falcons. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Like, one thing I have to give Arthur Blank is he realized that the niggas in Atlanta. Like, that's how you gonna have to market this shit. And that's how you gonna have to market this shit. And, like, it's hitting, bro. Like, everybody loves Atlanta. New York could be the same way. Like, both teams in New York could be the same way. Like, I mean.
Yep.
People are gonna miss
him. Red Bull was when Bradley Wright Phillips was there.
Yeah. Yeah, even when they had Henri there.
He was the guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. Like, the league's going to miss Joseph Martinez when he's gone.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Moving on from that one, even though that's a great, great topic, Alyssa LeHue also fired as the general manager. Was she?
Yeah, she was the general manager of Gotham FC. Yeah, and nobody knows what happened, bro. Nobody knows what happened.
But yeah, she was under investigation for some personnel violations, harassment, or something up to that effect. And yeah, she is now out of a job with Gotham FC. She actually went dark like in June of this year. Mm-hmm. And the investigation finally concluded this past weekend, and Gotham announced that she has been released from her duties. This is crazy, but I'm happy that Gotham took whatever happened seriously, decided that it was egregious enough for her to be removed, and actually removed her. Harassment in the workplace of any kind is absolutely unacceptable, whether it be a man or a woman. This is a women's league. They have an opportunity to set a standard, and they took full advantage. Not that they took advantage, but they used this opportunity to show what they intend to be about as a league and specifically as a club. And I fully, fully respect that. So deuces, Alyssa LeHue. I'm sure she'll pop up somewhere else in NWSL because they always do. But big up to Gotham FC, and I hope y'all keep pushing forward, keep changing the game, keep winning games too, because y'all busting heads out here, and I love it.
I don't know what she did, bro, but it had to be bad because she turned that shit around. Like, Sky Blue was a dumpster fire before she got there. So I could only imagine, like, what she did. Like, woof. Because they had Mitch
we may find out
all cylinders. Nah, we'll never find out.
Mm-hmm. She helped broker the deal to go to Red Bull Arena too, which was a huge move. Like, everything that has happened under her tenure fundamentally for the team has been very, very positive. The rebrand and all of that. But harassment, man, like, oh my God, why did you do it to yourself?
She had to be in the locker room slapping ass or something, bro. Like, they got her out of the paint for real.
Oh, yeah. Whatever it was bad because they would have found a way to gloss it over. You know, you hire the right PR team and they can find all the words to make it go away, but not this one. They was like, nah, you out of here. Kanye West has a listening party coming up this Thursday. He has a new album on deck called Donda, which is the name of his late mother, also the name of his creative agency that he started up back in the day. I'm not sure if that agency is still functioning, but that's the name. And this listening event will be 8 p.m. this Thursday at the Benz in Atlanta. So I don't think it gets more soccer related than that. This should be a pretty dope event. I wish I was in the Atlanta area for this one because I would go check it out just because it's good content. Ken, how you feeling about this? You think the music gonna slap on this joint?
No. Absolutely not.
Like, at all?
I do not think the music's going to slap. No. No, I don't think it's going to slap at all. I mean, I think, like, you know, I think his beats are always going to be good because, I mean, you're like, mm-hmm. you know, it's Kanye. But when you talk about, like, what he's going to be rapping about or whatever, it's like, all right, bro, like, I'm good. Like, I don't want to hear, like, I don't want to hear about his beef with Drake. I really don't want to hear, like, you know, about his shit with Kim. Like, you know, like, I'm good. Like, I'll let
This might be post-Kim music, though.
You say you think it might be post-Kim music?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it's post-Kim music, I think he's going to be, like, rapping about, like, you know, the breakup. Like, I could hear him doing, like, you know, some shit, like, you know. Like, I broke up with my Barbie doll. Like,
yeah, I could see it, like, but I don't think it's going to be that way.
Okay. You think it's going to slap?
No. I don't think it's going to slap. I'm just saying, I think he can get to a renewed space less okay. Kim. Because I was okay. of the mind that Kim ain't inspiring no great music. I've always said that. And now that she's fundamentally out of the picture, you know, he has, you know, a new kind of heartbreak, a new experience, and he might jump in that old Kanye bag. Not that I'm saying that he has to do what he's done before, because, you know, artists want to innovate, they want to evolve and grow and change and push the boundaries. But I just feel like without that stuff, he could possibly revert to a space where he was before as a reminder of what got him to where he is. And that could be interesting. So I'm curious about it in a way that I was not at all curious about the last two albums. So that's a net positive, I guess.
I kind of disagree with you that Kim don't inspire good music, because Ray J gave us some classics while he was in
Oh my God! Oh my God, that's so out of pocket.
What? Ray J didn't give us, you don't fuck with Ray J? Ray J didn't give us no classics? He gave us...
Hey man, that definitely just jumped in the top five Kenisms.
What?
That is hilarious.
What? He gave us I Hit It First. He gave us the sickest like four bars ever in the history of music. He was like, I text your girl, I sexed your girl, I left your girl, and she loved it. Like, what? Ray J was giving us bangers, man, when he was with Kim. Brandy's brother was doing it. So I kind of disagree
with
you.
He also gave us Booty Goons.
Oh my God, I forgot Booty Goons. Yo, can we have a cultural conversation about Booty Goons really fast?
For sure.
Is that not the funniest shit you've ever heard in your life, bro? Like,
bro, it was so absurd.
Who was he sending the Booty Goons after again? Was it Fabulous?
Fab.
Oh my God. Oh, that is out of pocket. That is out of pocket.
Bro, I'll listen to that shit live.
You were listening to that live? Wasn't that Breakfast Club?
Yeah. No, that was it was on Hot 97.
Okay, it was Hot 97, yeah. Was that Ebro or Flex? Yeah.
It was not Flex. Damn, I can't remember right now, but I listened to that shit live. I'm pretty certain it was Hot 97. It might have been Angie Martinez before she left Hot 97.
Okay.
Because she always got that type of shit. So I think it was Angie.
Okay.
But man, that was a wild night. That was a wild night, man.
Bro, you have been in New York for like legendary hip hop moments, bro. Last week it was the Styles P. Like this week it's the Booty mm-hmm. Goons. We're gonna have to start a whole segment that's like New York with rocks. I just feel like we could pick your brain for like legendary shit and like it would just keep going.
Bro, I was really outside. Like I was a kid that in my teen years, like when I was 16, 17 years old, I would be at the skate key at like 2-3 in the morning by myself. And like the skate key was not a safe place then. Like it was not. I mean, all the nefarious shit was going on at the skate key, and you could very easily find yourself in a whole lot of trouble you weren't prepared for. But I would be out there, you know what I mean? Events, concerts, whatever. Like I was there for so much crazy stuff that happened in New York City, and I got pictures for a lot of it that I took. So. Yeah, man, that's why I don't really, really trip too much about what people be talking about, because I'm just like, you know, you have to go out and experience for yourself. I did my part, now you do your part.
Yeah, because the skate key is definitely, like, I've never been, but that is definitely, like, a cultural reference point where it's like, if you know and you've heard stories, then you know.
Yeah, exactly. That shit was, woof. Those wild times. Wild times. Final short corner this week. Meg Thee Stallion on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. Oh, man. Have you seen this? I love Meg Thee Stallion as an artist, as a rapper. And I love the cultural icon that is she's continually steeping herself in. She is really becoming that shit. And I love it. This cover is very dope, very enticing. The pictures included are also very dope. And on the low, man, this whole issue might be a joint that I need to cop because I'm feeling like it's a classic and ain't even come out yet. I know Tinashe's in there. Naomi Osaka is in there. I need to see who else is in there. Ken, how you feeling about this issue?
Yo, I'm going to restore the feeling and have some pages sticking together when I cop this joint, bro.
Shut his mic off. Who is this?
Yo, we got to get a warning light.
Oh my god. Oh, we need a soundboard this week. Police, help!
Help! No, for real though, you're right though. This is a classic, bro. Oh, like, this ain't even come out, yo. Like, and this is a classic, yo. Like, yeah, because they got, you're right, they got Meg Thee Stallion in here, they got Tinashe in here, they got Naomi Osaka in here. Who else they got in there? I feel like we're missing like a couple other like bangers.
But, I'm sure. Well, I didn't look at the whole thing. I just saw this news and I was like, woo.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, fair play to like Sports Illustrated. Like, they've been doing these swimsuit issues and like they don't miss, bro.
I last saw a swimsuit issue probably 15 years ago.
For real? They've got some hits. Like, they don't miss on these, but like, this is definitely like, this is next level. Like, and I like the way that, like, I just like the way that they are being culturally relevant without, like, kind of being culture vultury. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
they're yeah. not really trying to, like, absorb the culture as much as they are, like, mm-hmm. they're culturally adjacent. And they're like, hey, sexy black women, come be sexy on our publication. And you just got to give them props.
Yeah. Like, to that point, I'm looking at this Meg cover, and I just love, like, we know she's a rapper. We know she does rapper shit, but this cover isn't necessarily quote unquote rapper shit. Like, she has a belly piercing and a bangle bracelet, and that's it. Like, no chain, no Audemars Piguet and all that shit iced down. Like, it's just Meg looking gorgeous in a swimsuit. And I think that's dope.
Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. And, like, you know, like, I like the way they're just like, hey, like, you know, she's a beautiful woman. Everybody knows she's a rapper. So we don't have to, like, make her look like a rapper. Or, like, we don't have to sell it. Like, you know, here's a right. rapper. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, this is peak, man. Yeah, like, yeah. I can't wait. Like, I'm looking forward to this more than I'm looking forward to the Kanye album. Let's just put it that way.
I hope so. I hope so, man. Yeah, but big up to Meg and all the other featured people in the SI swimsuit issue. I'm definitely going to check it out. At a minimum, I'll stop in a Barnes & Noble and check it out. If it's a classic the way I think it may be, I might go ahead and have to drop the coin on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm at a minimum getting the digital copy.
Saucer Toss is back this week. We have three items on the docket for you. The first up is Adidas Game Mode Firm Ground Boots. These boots are based off of the Champions League ball. They've taken that multicolored star pattern and placed it in a repeating pattern on the boot. Ken, you're the player here. Saucer Toss on this boot.
Okay. So I'm torn here because the ball is fire. Right?
Yep.
The technology on the shoes, because I've actually had a chance to wear these shoes before, like demo them. They're fire. Mm. The star pattern, we'll go gowns, beautiful gowns, because I see what they're trying to do. I like what I mean, I like the attempt, but I feel like it was like a little too cute by half. Like, if they had made the stars connect the way the stars connect on the ball, I would be like, all right, this is fire, right? But, I mean, it almost feels like they just kind of slap stars on the shoe. And, like, you know, like, I'm not going to hate on them because I like the stars. I like the ball. Like, the technology on the shoe's dope. So I'm going to give it a gowns, beautiful gowns. Not going to toss it. It's on the way to being saucy. Gowns, beautiful gowns. What you got?
I am going to dog these. These are a toss. Like, very, very far away. I'm in the same boat as you. This pattern on the ball is amazing. This pattern on the shoe, the way they placed it, absolute trash. These look like some generic knockoff dollar store boots. This is just really bad. And I'm completely baffled at how Adidas product development thought this was okay. I like the Champions League ball pattern on the heel, but yeah, that's about it. and it's white with this. It just looks very juvenile and just not saucy at all. These are a hard, hard toss.
Oh, you said juvenile. Is it more of a toss than vax that thing up?
Bruh. No. Because that was the ultimate, like, who mans is this, bruh? Like, they have such an incredible legacy. So you kind of want to give them a pass because they can effectively do whatever they want to do. But in reality, that commercial was really, really, really bad for a number of reasons. But, man, that was bad.
Manny Fresh didn't give it to you? You didn't like that Manny verse?
Oh, man. Anyways, Umbro Brazil has dropped some retro league kits, a collection of 7 teams that include, oh man, what are these teams? Hold on. Atlético Paranaense, mm-hmm. Avaí, Chapecoense, Fluminense, Grêmio, mm-hmm. Santos, Sport Recife. Those are your 7. Of these, I think the Recife is probably the most dope for me with that big lion chest logo thing. That's pretty dope. Grêmio is pretty cool. That's a classic. Fluminense, of course, classic. Chapecoense, meh. Avaí, very boring. And Paranaense is okay. If you are a person who likes classic soccer shirts, this collection is absolutely for you. As far as a collection and how they kept it very, very simple and true to the roots, excellent, excellent work by Umbro here. But as far as flexing on the streets, that's going to be up to how you can dress these up or down.
So are you saucing or tossing them?
I'm going to sauce them as a collection.
Okay, sauce them as a collection. Yeah, I think I'm going to sauce them as a collection with you too. I mean, just for the fact that, like, you know, they went into it leaning into being retro. So, like, I'll give them the very mm-hmm. basic designs. And I mean, I don't think any of these miss. Like, my favorite is probably the Sport Recife. Is that how you would say that?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir.
Oh, look at me.
That's the one.
Yo, low key, I would like to say that I would like to apologize to our listeners. It is not cool to take pride in mispronouncing things. And I got pulled aside after, was it last episode or 2 episodes ago? When I was like, oh, I'd just be saying mm-hmm. shit. And I got pulled aside by a listener, yeah. You know, who didn't want to be named because I told them I was going to apologize if it ever came up again. But they were like, yo, you should definitely try to do better. So, yeah, I am definitely going to try to do better on pronouncing things right. So, Sport Recife, that is probably my favorite also. And I think my second favorite, I know this is one you said was probably your least favorite, but blue is one of my favorite colors. So I think I like the Avaí, because okay. like just how solid it is. Like, I mean, like, you know, as a retro shirt, like, you know, it looks like it's form fitting and I like the, yeah, and I like the collar on it more than I like the mm-hmm. Chapecoense.
Chapecoense.
You got to tell me, bro. Chapecoense. There we go. Yeah, I like, out of the solid ones, I definitely like the Avaí more than I like the Chapecoense. So, yeah. I'm going to sauce them as a collection, too. But, yeah, I think the Sport Recife is probably my favorite, too.
Dope, dope. And I just want to also give a shout out to whoever it was that pulled you aside and say, I also appreciate you. If y'all hear us on this podcast and y'all have thoughts or concerns or things you want to share, say it to us, man. Like, that's what we're here for. We want to build community with y'all. And sometimes we might be wrong, or sometimes we may disagree on something. That's a part of the conversation. But what you can trust is we're never out here just disrespecting people or trying to undermine people or, you know, do other goofy shit like that. Like, we really about sharing our culture and having the conversations that we have in the barbershop. But the barbershop conversation doesn't always translate to other people. So you can always feel comfortable coming to us, having conversations with us, showing us something that you know, and helping us grow, and we'll help you grow too.
Yeah, I'm 100% about growth around here. And like, I just didn't, like, you know, like I was just being an unserious person, and I don't want to be an unserious person. So, like, you know, thank you, Ghost Critic. You know who you are. I'm not going to put you out there like that because you asked me not to.
Big up. Last one for Saucer Toss this week. Orlando Pirates 21-22 home kit by Adidas. Orlando Pirates are in the South African League, and this is one of the more prominent clubs. If you play FIFA, you've definitely seen this in the international section and their cool skull and crossbones logo. Ken, Saucer Toss on this shirt.
I think I am going to sauce this. I like the offset of the skull and crossbones and how it's a black shirt, but they use, I guess, what would you consider this? It's a type of, what is the print called when you, like, I don't want to call it, like, is it like reset?
Not sublimation, but
like recessed,
like embossed, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically embossing. I like the way they embossed it on there, and I like the classicness of it. I like how they like made it modern, but didn't like try to over modernize it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I feel like that's where a lot of people fuck up, is they like are like, okay, you know, we're gonna do something modern here, but we are like, you know, just gonna take it too far. So I think they bridged this very well. So I'm gonna sauce it. Like, I really like it. This is a jersey I would rock.
Yeah, I'm saucing this for sure. I love that Adidas understands on this shirt, you never need to do too much. It's a fucking skull and crossbones, bro. Like, that's basically the most hard thing you could do to a shirt. And that's their, you know, standard logo. Last year's shirt was basic black with only the skull and crossbones and then the Vodacom chest sponsor, which is super clean, basic black and white. This adding the little red detail is also very clean. I like this a lot. I think I would wear this one if I found it somewhere. But of course, me being a homer, I would have to at a minimum visit South Africa first, catch a game. Then I would like feel more comfortable in this shirt. But that's just me. I'm weird that way. But overall, I love this shirt. I think it looks pretty dope. This is a sauce from me.
Last year's jersey on this was saucy too. Like,
yes, sir.
Like, I have to give them a double sauce for going 2 for 2.
We kind of passed our at the half window, so let's slide it up in there. What is your music selection for this week? There's a bunch of music that dropped on Friday of last week. What do you have in your ears for the people?
Okay, so I've been giving you guys a lot of hits that you guys would know. This week, I am going to open the vault and turn y'all on to some tunes that you probably have never heard before. So there is a Jamaican artist. Maybe you've heard of him. I'm pretty sure you haven't. His name is Capella Gray. Have you heard of him, Rox?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He just did a joint with A Boogie, too.
Yeah, yeah. But the song I'm giving you, I'm sure you've heard it because this has been blowing up in New York. But, like, it's very regional and, like, very cultural. It's Gallis, G-Y-A-L-I-S. See, listen to him. He's heard this before. See, if you know, you know. And that's all I need to say. Capella Gray,
yes, sir.
Gallis. It is definitely a cultural bop. Might not ever hit Billboard, but it's definitely song of the summer in my culture. So,
yeah, if you outside.
If you outside, this is song of the summer, bro.
My pick this week is a new joint from Tinashe, who we just spoke about in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. She has a new music video out called Bouncing. And let me just say, I highly recommend, if you are appreciative of the female form, you might want to check this video out. This joint is pretty dope. But overall, like that aside, it's a very cool song. I like the melody. I like the instrumentation on this. Very high energy, definitely a dance tune. Fun for the clubs, fun for the summer. It's a vibe that I want to be on in my life right now. So Tinashe, Bouncing, check it out. It's a dope song.
Good thing Ben Simmons can't shoot, bro.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Oh, man. Run a play this week. We're back with Gold Cup action. We spoke briefly earlier in the episode about the USA versus Canada. Let's dive into that game a little bit, man. What was your takeaway from it? We had already mentioned in the previous episode that this was going to be a top of the group game. And sure enough, that's what happened. And USA is top of the group.
Yeah, I have to give it to them. They definitely pulled it off. It wasn't pretty.
No.
My boy Yogi, big shout to Yogi. We kind of went back and forth a little bit of Twitter on it. Like, you know, he thought it was professional. I thought they were like riding their luck. I think a lot of times they've rode their luck with Greg Berhalter. And like it's coming up spades now, but like yeah, they got the job done, you know. So onto the knockouts. It looks like they avoided Mexico in the semis. So like you
thank
know, the
goodness.
Final, yeah, thank goodness. The final's shaping up to be USA Mexico again. So. Like, yeah, I mean, just fair play to him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, same here. Like, this team is young. They're growing together. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck. I don't think they were necessarily lucky. I'm more in agreement with Yogi that this was a professional win. The hot start definitely helped because a draw would have made Canada top of the group. But listen, it's your job to stop it, and you didn't stop it. And they did what they needed to do for the remainder of the game to stay on top. They had some pretty scary moments in there, but they also had some threatening moments too. So all of that is a part of the process. You need to learn, grow, go through things, feel what it feels like, and then, you know, prepare yourself for the next time around. So going forward, let's see how they perform. Big up to man James Sands for, man, when I tell you, I think I mentioned specifically in an earlier episode about how much he settles the midfield and, you know, he keeps the back line from panicking because he can just cover so much, stop dangerous plays, stop dangerous runs, make that last ditch tackle without blowing it. And he did just that. And, you know, a lot of people who don't watch him regularly like we do at NYCFC, you know, they're discovering like, yo, who is this? Six, man, this dude is balling his ass off. Well, that's what we knew about him. That's why we feel like NYCFC is struggling without him, because he just brings such a calm presence to the game. And it's nothing flashy. It's nothing that is going to show up on the stat line necessarily, but it's just a steady presence there that keeps things tight, keeps things calm, and keeps mistakes from happening in the back, which cost you points. So he did exactly what he needed to do. The rest of the team did what they needed to do. Big up to Shaq Moore getting his first international goal.
Yeah, black that was a men good goal.
Everywhere, bro.
I think, okay, so I think there are a couple players that really put themselves in position for, like, the big boy squad so far. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, Daryl DK put himself in position for the big boy squad. Busio put himself in position for the big boy squad. Sands, in my opinion, he definitely put himself. I think he's the defender of the tournament coming out of here. Like, people want to give Zimmerman, like, a lot of credit, and I guess he played okay, but he was a little too exposed on this level for me to feel comfortable with him on the next level. But Sands looked more than comfortable here. And Eric Williamson, yo, like, he just, like, he's a little loose with the ball. He's a little casual with the ball. But he has, like, whatever it is where, like, you know, he knows how to run a midfield. He knows how to run a midfield. And I don't know if he's a starter with the big boys, but he's in that squad. Like, I can't name outside of McKinney, Reyna, Pulisic possibly playing in the midfield, and Adams. Like, I can't name too many more players that you can put ahead of him in that midfield based on these displays, man. Because, like, that game against Martinique, he totally bossed it. But, I mean, it was Martinique. This game against Canada, when he came on, like, you know, he was one of the people that steadied the ship a little bit, at least for him to see it out. And one of the things that I think I'm so critical of about this team, where we kind of disagree, is that, like, when you go up that early in the game, I want to see them go and try to kill a game off, right?
Right.
Like, if you go up 1-0 in the third minute, like, I want to see you go for that second goal. Because if you kill a team off, like, you know, if you're going in 2-0 at halftime, like, that's where the professional performance comes into me, right? Like, can you, if you go up that early, can you go get another goal before halftime? And then can you see that next 45 minutes off? And I know that's hypercritical.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very critical. But, like, that's the standard I want for this team. Because, like, when you get to the big boys, like, you know, going up 1-0, like, you know, you're not going to be able to repel them for 90 minutes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely not. Yeah, definitely. So, not in the World Cup, not in the Olympics, none of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, that's my only thing. But I'm really happy for the boys. I think they're going to make it to the final. And I told y'all Qatar was going to win the group. So, like, I told y'all.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Gold Cup action continues on, man. Let's hope the USA can pull it out. I want to see those boys do well and build some confidence to bring back to the league, because we have so many of them that are playing in MLS. So I want them all to feel, you know, charged up, ready to go, finish out the second half of the MLS season, doing their thing on their respective teams, because it all makes for good soccer and great entertainment for us.
Yeah, I love it. I'm highly invested in these knockout rounds.
Yeah, for sure. It's headed home time, man. What words of wisdom or funny anecdotes do you have for us here in episode 44 to close this thing out?
I don't know, man. I'm on vacation. This has been a pretty problematic episode. Fuck it. I'm just going to get to it, man. Like, our DNA is in these streets, bro. And
facts.
I don't know, man. Like, things are about to change. Like, that's all I'll say. Our DNA is out here. We're constantly, like, pushing the barriers of, like, you know, what is possible and what we want to do with this culture shit. And, like, you know, it's all good. Like, you know, but we've been a little humble for far too long. And, like, you know, it's time for us to, you know, just be a little more chesty with what we're out here doing. Because, you know, like, we're always the first to do something. And, like, you know, it kind of comes around on the back end. And there are people out here really flourishing, like, you know, off of our model. And that's all well and good. I wish them all the best. But, like, yeah. Like, you know, our DNA's out here. So, like, you know, we're going to start naming our, we're going to start claiming our kids. Let's just put it that way.
Facts. Hey, listen, I'm 100% with you on that one, man. You know, sometimes you just need to claim your shit. And we on that energy now. So don't look at us crazy because we ain't say nothing. We watched it all happen. Don't think we didn't see it. I saw it. Ken saw it. Shanoa saw it. And now we about to start claiming what we've done. So don't look at us crazy. That's all I'm saying. Keep that same motherfucking energy.
Yeah. And one thing too, man, like nobody's angry. Like, you know, like especially in this space, a lot of people think that like, you know, because like we, you know, don't do like a lot of interviews or we don't do like a lot of crossovers is that we don't fuck with people. It's like, no, it's just, you know, that is our model. And like, you know, we've given a lot more to this than we've taken from it. And it's all love. Like, facts. We love to see everybody flourishing. We love to see the flourish. But like, yeah, it's time to take a little respect for our own personal names.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My head at home this week is a nod to someone who I respect and value in my community. And that is Styles P, the Ghost, rapper of the Lox fame. And man, he had some conversations this week on his Instagram page. And just talking about what he's been trying to build here in Yonkers for, you know, whatever, his life. You know, he's a street dude who made a career out of rap and then took those gains and turned it into health and wellness education for himself, his friends, and his community. And I respect and value that very, very much. So I often listen to him in a way that I do not listen to celebrities. I generally don't care what y'all talking about, what y'all doing, but this guy is really outside the same community events that I'm at, trying to be an impactful person in my community. He's also at putting in the work, having the conversations, talking to people, looking them in their eyes, that sort of thing. So he was having a conversation about how, you know, street dudes are out here who are, they don't really know shit, and they're guiding the youth into a bad space and place in their own lives. And he's just not here for it. And he's calling for them to learn something or get out of the way. And by get out of the way, he means send the youth to me and let me show them something positive, something that can, you know, take them to a different space and place in their lives. And I'm on that type of energy, man. Like, I feel like, you know, Ken, kind of to your point, like, I think people feel like I don't fuck with people or I don't want to be around people. It's not that at all. It's just that I'm so committed to this mission. And a lot of this stuff is just noise, man. And we got to get away from the noise and into this work. The work is setting our youth up for bright futures. And that ain't really got nothing to do with a lot of shit that's on Twitter. That's got to do with being out in this street with these kids, catching them when they're about to do something stupid, or, you know, not even that, but just being there when they need somebody to talk to, when they need some advice and they need some direction. And you can kind of help guide and mold and shape and provide, you know, the tools that they need to get where they're trying to go. So Styles saying that, you know, being as visible as he is to the public, but also having that commitment to the local community. You know, he has juice bars and he talks about health and keeping yourself clean. You know, even with his verses coming up, you know, the average person, the average musician that we see would say, oh, it's a versus. It's an opportunity for me to make money as much as I can get. Let me cash grab, cash grab, cash grab. Styles is of the mind that, you know, their promotion was, hey, if you're vaccinated, you can come see the show. So people were like, oh, I'm going to go get vaccinated. And Styles is like, hey, listen, don't go get vaccinated if you haven't already just to come see this show. Like, we love that you support us and you want to, you value us and you want to see us, but you need to make your health decisions based on your health, not on a fucking concert. And that type of realness is shit you cannot buy, you cannot pay for, and you have to elevate and respect it. So this is my small part of lifting, elevating, and celebrating Styles P and his commitment to this black shit.
Hey, man, as Jadakiss said, if you take him to the Gucci store, show him the loafs, bro. Like,
yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chop Soccer episode 44. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy, Ken. I wish I would have gotten to this earlier, but RIP to Biz Markie, bro. Before the episode is done, I just had to slide that in. Big RIP to the Biz. His DNA is all over this culture. Rest in peace, Biz, man. You will not be forgotten. You will not be forgotten.
Not at all.
But hold your head, Shanoa. We'll see you. We'll see you soon. It's Shanoa Green, y'all.
The name my mother gave me. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know what to do. Do all the things that help us grow. Like, comment, share, subscribe, download these episodes because we need it, we need it, we need it, we need it, and we appreciate it. If you want to get in the conversation with us, we're on Twitter at Chop Soccer Pod, on Instagram at Chop Soccer Pod. If you want to shoot comments or suggestions for the show, you can hit us up on email at chopsoccerpod@gmail.com. And check out our latest endeavor. We have started blogging. So we're going to have some short form content on our website, chopsoccer.com. So do that. And of course, as always, help support the show by donating money to paypal.me/chopsoccerpod. We love you. We appreciate you. And you know the vibes.
Good night, Ivory Coast.